Welcome to First Reading, the lectionary podcast for Hebrew lovers everywhere. And we
are Hebrew lovers.
That's probably not a good beginning. Okay.
It's like, nope. Okay. One take.
Welcome to First Reading Podcast, the lectionary podcast
for all lovers.
For lovers of the Hebrew Bible everywhere.
That'll work.
We are joining you this week from SBL here in San Diego, beautiful sunny San Diego, in November 2024. And I'm here with our co-host,
Paul Essa, PhD student in Hebrew Bible, Old Testament at Yale University.
I'm Rachel Wren. I teach biblical studies at Trinity Lutheran Seminary at Capital University.
I'm Tim McFinch. I teach Hebrew Bible at Christian Theological Seminary.
And I am Rosie Candlethal. I teach at Wake Forest University. And we're joining you here with some preaching tips on Advent week 2, where our first reading this week is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, a short reading taken from the last book of the Hebrew Bible canon. And it's got this kind of interesting, provocative beginning for Advent chapter 2. It begins with the words, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So the refrain begins with, you know, words that we have come to maybe expect during Advent, prepare the way of the Lord.
Yeah.
But then it takes a little of an unexpected turn, and we hear more of the kind of apocalyptic language that we even sort of heard in Advent 1, as we kind of were talking about our last week, because the very next verse is, "But who can endure the day of his coming? Right. Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like washer's soap."
Yeah.
"And will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." So it goes from this maybe familiar sound of prepare the way of the messenger. And immediately we start thinking of Advent and Jesus and the good feelings come. And then the next one is, "But who can endure the day of his coming?" Right. Yeah. So here we are, maybe welcoming, wanting, you know, this moment of the Messiah in our midst. And yet we hear a sound of warning. And so I wonder if there isn't maybe something here for preachers as we think about this particular moment, a fraught moment, where maybe even this nation, we all live here in America, maybe we have listeners beyond this, but for many of us in this context, there's a bit of a bated breath as we wonder what the new year might bring. And so these readings in year C, to me, all kind of have a common sounding of both the apocalyptic, but then the hope that is within the apocalyptic moment. So I've been teaching the apocalyptic for my undergrads this week. And one of the things I've been underscoring for them is, for many of us, the popular idea of the apocalyptic is catastrophe and disaster.
Yeah.
That's like kind of the immediate association that we get.
Something about zombies too, right?
Yeah. Definitely. Like, a lot of my students. But here, the apocalyptic language is a reference to, you know, the kind of historical crises and the powers that are being confronted at the moment at which these texts are being compiled, authored, composed, right? So as we think about our own historical crises, we might also hear this language addressing us. And we have kind of an unusual set of lectionary texts for this week in that we do not have a psalm. I know. So I hope you all heard the line.
Everything's fine.
It's unusual that we don't have a psalm here. Instead, what we hear are two different readings from Luke, Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, each of which, again, echo this idea of the messenger, right? So in Luke chapter 1, we get the famous kind of Nunc Dimittis passage, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty savior for us in the house of his child David," right? So that familiar refrain. But then Luke chapter 3, we get the kind of a high beginning. It begins with, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip," right? So we get kind of the powers that be. "During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God comes to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness."
Yeah.
I love that beginning, right? Because I think as we think about this moment, it is so easy to become consumed by the headlines of our day, the powers that be, the ones that kind of consume our life and seem to have control over our world and our lives. And yet the reminder, I think, in the way that Luke frames these verses and then touches down in verse 2, "The word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness." And so I wonder if, you know, I'm going to open this up to our co-host, but like, I wonder if there isn't something here really rich with tension for preachers as they think about this moment and both holding the reality of, you know, apocalyptic feelings.
Yeah.
But also reminding ourselves that we have faced apocalyptic scenarios over and over again in this text. Yeah. And yet, consistently, the writers also point us toward a consistent hope. In the midst of this, we look to the word of the Lord that comes in unusual circumstances and settings. So, yeah. So I wonder how you all saw the set of readings.
I got that flavor, especially the sort of the tension there between the way that Malachi
had to throw it in.
Draws us in
with the
promise of like, hey, the Lord is coming. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great.
Yep.
And it's going to be everything that you've ever wanted. But who can endure when that happens? So you have that tension of it's a fraught coming. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's not just a glorious coming.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so you get that flavor there. And then the end of the lectionary passage kind of turns again to hope for the opportunity for good leadership that will lead in righteousness and right worship and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm always struck by the ambiguity of who is the his on his coming in two. It says, but who can endure the day of his coming? And before that, if you back up, you know, God says first, okay, I'll send my messenger who'll prepare the way. You're like, great. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. It almost sounds like the second half of that sentence switches into poetry, which with parallelism, we would expect, you know, a symmetry between the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. So is God coming and then the messenger? You know, it's not clear what's going on. And then in verse 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who is the antecedent there? Who's coming? Is it God or the messenger?
And then also, like, if you keep going in the later half of 2, well, he is like a refiner's fire, like the fullest soap. Like, is it the messenger doing the refining and the purifying, or is it God who is coming after the messenger doing the refining and stuff like that? What's the function of the messenger versus what's the function of God after the messenger?
Yeah.
I sort of took it as the messenger being the one who's coming and doing this work.
Okay. The being,
I was sort of thinking through like messenger as Malach, often translated angel, right? Mm-hmm. So I will send my angel. And as I think about that, I've got one of our colleagues, Esther Hamori, has a fun, provocative little book about what is it called? God's Monsters?
God's Monsters.
Yeah.
So the sort of agents of God's terrifying work in the world as sort of traced through the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord is one of those. Mm-hmm. And we get that. The first example that comes to mind would be the Exodus story at the killing of the firstborn of all Egypt was the angel of the Lord going through and sort of making a way for the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to send my angel before me to clear out the path.
Yeah.
That can be a kind of threatening sort of message.
Mm-hmm. So maybe preaching pitfall. Don't associate yourselves too closely with the messenger. Mm. Like maybe we're not the messenger who is being called forth. We're maybe those who, you know, then the Lord will have people who will bring offerings in righteousness. But we're not necessarily the ones who are the messaging.
Mm-hmm. Or don't be too celebratory about the idea of the coming of the messenger.
Yeah.
Sort of sounds a little bit like, is it Amos 5 or Amos 6? Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord, because it's not going to be a day of liberation. It's going to be a judgment.
So this is my unpopular opinion that the very popular hymn these days, the Canticle of the Turning, let your fires of your justice burn, wipe away all tears that the dawn. Like that, my students love that hymn, and every time we sing it, I'm like, "Y'all, we don't actually want the day of the Lord to come. Like, it's not going to end well for anybody." So that reminds me a little bit of this.
Yeah,
and you're pointing back to kind of the underlying ambiguity of Malachi, right? So the my messenger. So biblical scholars, when they think about this book, like we don't have an identity of who this messenger is, and yet that word Malachi, my messenger, right, kind of starts out the book and then keeps becoming a refrain, but we don't know who it is. So the essential ambiguity might be something that we hold on to, right? We don't know who this messenger is. And the gospel writers seem to be playing with that as well, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of like the messenger is John the Baptist, but we're not sure even for Luke, like he has to kind of be clear on but he's not the Messiah.
Yeah.
He's maybe the messenger, right? Yes. And we kind of hear this refrain. So I mean, maybe as we think about ourselves, and Rachel, you're kind of pointing out, like, don't assign yourself the kind of the meaning that you are the messenger, but to maybe hang on to that, you know, we are holding a message. We have good news on some level, and yet to be humble about how we pass that message on, and recognize that the message comes from another, right? To not become too arrogant.
Well, and I think that's where I really like this image in verse 3 at the end. Once the messenger has come, then the Lord will have people who bring offerings. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking ourselves as messengers, we're those with an offering, you know, to God and to those around us. And offerings are always best served, if you will, in hospitality, in generosity, and with love. So that could be a nice image to hold on to that doesn't assign to us the messenger.
Right.
I kept thinking also about the end goal of the refining and the purifying and stuff like that, which sounds to me as though like this person is coming for the sake of righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. It's coming for the sake of like, you know, clearing the way so that the people can live in a relatively whole, like complete justice-filled community with each other, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that says something about what we are celebrating this season, for Advent, and what kinds of reminders are we giving people about the world in which we live?
Mm-hmm.
What relationships are we forming in community, especially those who have power and then those who don't have power and live under power? Like what kinds of relationships are we forming, right?
Yeah. So for whom do we wait, you know, this Advent and this second week? We have much more, a couple more weeks to think about. So perhaps we should leave this here for preachers. We hope that you've received something from our conversation that you might be able to use. We know this is a busy time for many preachers, so know that we're thinking of you, and we hope that there's something helpful here that might press on your preaching in certain ways. So with that, I just want to remind you that there are also back episodes at 300 plus on our website, firstreadingpodcast.com. Please visit us there and subscribe wherever you find us. Please let others know in this Advent season that they might be able to find us as a possible resource. And so we'll leave that there. I'm Rosie Candethal.
I'm Paul Estelle.
I'm Rachel Wren.
And I'm Tim McNinch.
Happy Advent and happy preaching.
Awesome. All right.
Bye.